Councilmember Powell.
Where are we at with moving the capital improvements over to by the light plant?
Amber was in my office today and indicated they have started the move, and I believe she's on, and I would ask her to speak to that if that's okay, Mr. Mayor and Assemblymember Powell.
Yes, please.
Good evening.
Evening, Amber.
Hi there. So with our reduced staff, we were planning to start that move a couple of weeks ago. But with our reduced staff and my vacation last week, we're just getting back to it this week. But we have to make sure we've got the phone system set up, and we're actually looking at the voice over IP that I mentioned during the work session. And we have a meeting with Black Point tomorrow to discuss that after, depending on what happens tonight with that agenda item. So just really getting that set up, and we've got lots of things boxed up and ready really just to start finding some manpower to move all of our items to the new facility be set to go. My hope is that we'll be in there by the end of August.
Member Powell, do you want to follow up?
After that move, Lisa, where are we at with getting that place on the market?
We will begin working through a plan to do that as swiftly as we can.
Okay.
Anyone else questions for Lisa on her report? Thank you very much, City Manager Ron Bargan. Clerk Lane, your report.
I don't have much. I do want to report that right now absentee voting for the primary election is going on in the assembly chamber. Sarah Merritt is doing that. And that'll be until August 17th. The primary election will be held at the Nolan Center on August the 18th. And there's, like I've said in the past, brand new election equipment, and they have a ton of PPE. So keeping you safe, keeping themselves safe. Just I encourage people to come out and vote. And if you don't want to come out and vote, you can, for the local election, contact me and I can send you the information as Mr. and Mrs. Nelson already did, to send your ballot to you either by mail or by fax. If you're not sure, just give me a call and we can walk through it and figure out what the best option is for you. Let's see. Also, I do want to say I did fail to send out the executive session call-in information for the assembly. So I'm going to be working on that when the items are coming up, and I'll send that out to everybody. But other than that, I don't have anything new to report, unless anybody has questions.
Any questions for the clerk? Not to anything, Kim. Thank you very much. And it looks delightful wherever you are right now.
In my office.
Well, I know, but it's
I wish.
Beautiful Greek island. It looks so nice and inviting. All right. Mayor and assembly business. Does anybody have any reports under assembly business? All's quiet. I'm just going to do a quick call out to Carol and the Economic Development Committee for the rapid response with the funds. I mean, we allocated a fair amount of money there, and I know that they've been working diligently, and I really appreciate that money getting back out into the community. It's incredibly important that we're helping folks out right now until we get back on our feet again. So I really appreciate that. I encourage us to keep coming up with ideas to help locals weather this storm. Any other comments from the assembly? All right, seeing none. Mayor and assembly appointments. We have one letter of interest for the borough assembly position. It's an unexpired term ending October 2020. And we have received one letter of interest from Mr. Dalrymple, Is there a motion to approve Mr. Dalrymple's request to sit on the assembly until the term ending October 6, 2020?
I move to appoint Mr. Dalrymple to that vacant position.
I'll second that.
Assemblymember Morrison seconded. Any discussion?
Yes. Assembly members, David Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item number 11A, ordinance number 979 in the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the withdrawal from the Port Authority, known as the Inter-Island Ferry Authority, and calling a referendum on the proposition to withdraw from said Port Authority. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone here tonight to speak on this matter? Kim, did anybody sign up or contact you?
No, Mr. Mayor, I have nobody signed up.
Is anybody on the current conference call that would like to speak on it? Please just take yourself off of mute and introduce yourself. David, hold on there, buddy.
Oh, sorry.
I thought somebody started talking too. I was like, oh.
I know. There was a meeting where the guy started snoring on the Zoom meeting. I'm not hearing anybody to speak on this matter under the public hearing, so I'm going to declare the public hearing closed at 7:41. Item 12, unfinished. Did I miss something here?
Yes, we. Please entertain a motion.
Oh, sorry. Can I entertain a motion, please?
I move to approve ordinance number 979. Gilbert.
Been moved. We have a second.
Second, Howe.
Seconded by Howe. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly members, David Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item 12, unfinished business, there is none. Item 13, A, resolution number, item 13A, approval to negotiate sale, lease, or access easement addressing borough access and utility easement requirements for a portion of lot 11, block 83, USS 1119, with Jim and Sue Nelson.
Move to approve the negotiation of the sale, lease, or access easement addressing rural access utility easement requirements for a portion of lot 11, block 83, USS 119, with Jim and Sue Nelson.
Moved. We have a second.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Morrison. Mr. Nelson, this would be a great time for you to address matters on the table, so please go ahead.
No, I mean, it sounds like we aren't going to have any problems, so there's probably no reason to talk.
Okay. You don't want to talk the problem. That's a wise man.
But
right
we now. Do want it, but we do want it approved. I mean,
sure. No, I appreciate that. Great. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to reserve the ability for you to answer any questions. And
all right. For you. Yes.
And then if you decide, I want to give you every opportunity. If you decide you'd like to say something, there's a little blue hand, I believe, on the thing there, and you can just raise it and I'll get to you. Sue, do you know where that is? Because I know Jim doesn't.
If not, we have the child here that knows the computers. So.
Okay, good.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, not me too, guys. We'll figure it out together.
All right.
Any comments, questions from the assembly? Lisa, would you like to give us an update on this, please?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor, and I would ask that Carol hop in to assist as well. Jim Nelson came to the borough, it's been a number of months ago, requesting to purchase this property adjacent to his land. It is where the primary access is to his home, and for a variety of reasons, I won't get into delays, et cetera. We're finally here addressing this issue. It did go before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the sale of this parcel to Jim and Sue with the caveat that access and utility easement issues be addressed. The parcel on which this access rests has a major water line running through it, and it has electric utility infrastructure running through it. It also...
Jim, I'll just let Lisa go, and then if you have something you want to add, we'll go at that point, okay?
Certainly, Jim probably understands the electric utility far better than I do, but that was my understanding from staff, and it could provide access to the back side of the switch yard if necessary. So if the parcel is sold, utility and access easements would have to be platted in that parcel for sure. Those platted easements would also prohibit the Nelsons from being able to put any permanent improvements on that property, because the city would have to be able to get on it and maybe even dig it up to be able to do waterline improvements. So the other issue, although I know it has been a concern that to Mr. Nelson that perhaps we're mixing apples and oranges, I know that the commission is concerned about making sure, as is administration, that we are able to come to some sort of a negotiated agreement on the south. The property that is that the Nelsons own, that is adjacent to the power plant, that is that abuts Case Avenue, and so that was brought up at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting as well. Respectfully, although we know Mr. Nelson wants to purchase the property, from administration's point of view, we feel like the same thing could be accomplished by providing Mr. Nelson with an access easement, because he's never going to be able to do anything with the property. It seems odd that he would want to take on buying and paying the taxes for something that we're going to have a huge easement running through and would potentially need to dig up, et cetera. So our preference as administration is that we provide him with the access that he needs with an access easement, and that we hang on to that property just to be safe, because we've got utilities running through it and potential access needs. So that's the stance that administration is taking. As I said, the Planning and Zoning Commission did approve the sale with caveats, and their memo is attached to the agenda statement. And what this item does tonight is it approves us moving forward with the negotiation of those options, because we don't want to move forward with doing things like getting an appraisal and other stuff if the assembly would say no. So that's what we're here to get approval from the assembly on tonight. Unfortunately, it's another step in the process, but we're moving forward finally.
Thanks, Lisa. So Jim, you're on mute right now, but I'll give you a chance to add anything or sort of speak now that you see the intent.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I do have a couple of them. We do want to buy it. We want to put it on the tax roll, number one. Number two, we want to add to it, but we do not want to build on it. That's not what we're after. We just want to have our driveway. We've had for many years. Now, it's been brought to my attention that there is a gentleman, electrical superintendent. He told me he's putting a fence across it due to it makes better neighbors that way. Well, don't make better neighbors. You know, when you're putting across your driveway you've used for many years. I asked Ms. Von Vargen about it. She said, nope, don't worry about it. Then all of a sudden, he's up there surveying it. I call him personally, and he says, yep, we're putting the fence across there. I want not to be able to have to worry about it every time I turn around that the electrical department's going to come through there. Now, number two is there is no electrical going through there. There is a water line going through there. There is no electrical. And if you look at your map, you can see it comes right out of those two green boxes right alongside the substation, right straight down to the power plant. It does not have anything to do with this piece of property we're trying to buy. So, I've been threatened with a fence already. And I don't appreciate being bullied by the electrical superintendent.
Mr. Mayor, if I could respond to that, I actually am the one that directed the survey to take place because there was question as to where the actual property line was, both on the top end where the Nelson's house is and on the lower end where the Nelson's own property. And they had expressed a considerable interest or considerable concern about us accessing on portions of their property on the property that accesses off of Case Avenue. And so I am the one that directed the survey to be done to make sure we knew where the property line sat.
That's not the way the electrical superintendent said. He personally told me he was gonna put a fence across there. And you know, the property down below is kind of non-void. We're not talking about that tonight. Number one is on that one, it's my property. And the city, just because they are alongside of it, don't get to use it as their use to get in there without asking. They've never been turned down. So let's drop the bottom property and talk about the top one.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. So at this point, what I want to make sure that we're not auguring into a direction that we don't need to in this forum. At this point, the assembly is being asked about the giving permission for the administration to enter into negotiation regarding a lease or access easement or however that might look, correct? Because there's no direct proposal on the table. Nobody's saying one or the other. This is just us saying, please go ahead with the Nelsons and please start that negotiating process. And come back to us at that point and let us know if you're planning.
So,
sorry, Kim. At this point, I'm going to take it back and I'm going to actually ask for Kim to mute you so that I can speak with Lisa. Thanks, guys. Go ahead, Lisa.
So, Mr. Mayor, yes, we're well aware of what the Nelson's preference is. In order for us to provide them, us, and you with all of the information, we will need to start incurring expenses. And those are expenses that, because they are requesting to purchase this via negotiation, that they will have to, the applicants, the Nelsons, will have to bear those expenses. But we don't want to, if the assembly is dead set opposed to any of these options, then we would say, we would not move forward with incurring those expenses or going through this effort. So we need you guys to say, yes, it's okay to negotiate, come back with a recommendation with all of the information, and that's what we will move forward doing once we get approval from you guys, if you grant it.
Okay, so at this point, I'd like to ask the assembly if they have any questions for Lisa or comments.
Mayor? Mayor, can I talk one more time?
Yeah, and that's, I'm going to move it along, Jim.
Well, I mean, one more time. Okay, but what I'm saying is we're willing to buy it, but we're willing to give all the easements you want. That's not a big deal. We will give you every easement you can sign onto that.
Okay.
You know?
And at this point, we're actually not in that process. At this point, that's the negotiating process that you're going to enter into with the administrative staff. Right now, we're just discussing, do we have any concerns with moving forward with the negotiation?
So okay, do I have any concerns about the fence going up before this is all over and done with?
I'm going to actually direct you with this to speak. Give Lisa a call.
I have. With her.
Okay. I'll address the fence issue with Mr. Nelson.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Assembly Member Powell.
Well, I'm going to have to say that I would have to, if we're looking at entering a negotiation with them and incurring expenses, my idea is I had a similar thing with what I wanted downtown. I understand wanting to own it. I can't build anything on what I got, and I understand they can't either. So I would say I would be in favor of going into negotiation with selling it.
Okay.
And putting it on the tax roll.
Lisa, are you asking, okay, I'm going to come back to this because I want some clarity on this. Are you asking us to tell you whether we want you to sell it or just do an easement? Because I don't feel like I have anywhere near enough information to make that recommendation. Or are you just asking, should you go into negotiations? Because that's what I'm reading. It says, right, move up to negotiate a sale, lease, or access easement.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. What we need from you, Mr. Mayor, is that the assembly is okay with us moving forward with this process. Then we have to, unfortunately, the code has many layers in it, and we then need to come back when we have the appraisal information, when we have all of that stuff, with a resolution authorizing whatever it is, the sale, the lease, the access agreement, whatever it is. I am happy to take your input as assembly members if you feel like you have some right now, one way or the other, because that helps inform my decision coming back to you. So feel free to share. But right now, what we need is you're okay to move forward with the process.
Okay. David, do you want to go again?
Yeah. Well, Mr. Mayor, the reason why I said what I said is because in the recommended motion, it says negotiates a sale, lease, or access easement. I was just giving my opinion that I'd like the sale part of it moved forward. There's, to me, it looks like there's three options.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm just not sure how I make that decision about which one is the right one for to benefit the community and how we best protect the interests of the city on this. And that's all I'm saying is that, I mean, I respect Mr. Nelson and his side, but I also respect the city manager. So I just don't know how we, you know, I think you were relatively intimate with your situation, David. So that made sense for you on your situation. I just don't know this situation. So that's all I'm saying on it. But does anybody else have any guidance for the city manager on this? Assemblymember Gilbert.
Well, from what I've heard, it seems to be pretty self-evident that if we sell that parcel and write into the contract that the city will have the easements that it requires, that it sounds like a good deal. I'm with Assemblymember Powell.
Okay.
I prefer the sale of it.
Anyone else, any comments? All right, I'm not seeing any. Vote, vote, please, Kim.
Okie doke, assembly members.
Is there a motion?
Yes.
Motion's been made, it's on the table.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item 13D, approval of second Item 13B, which is now the resolution number 08-20-1534 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, encouraging the residents of and the visitors to the city and borough of Wrangell to wear face coverings in public places.
Move to approve resolution number 08-20-1534. Gilbert.
Second, this is Powell.
Seconded by Powell. Discussion. Lisa, do you want to walk us along on this a bit?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Following our discussion item last week with the assembly regarding the potential for a mask mandate, the administration used the resolution that Sitka passed, encouraging the use of face coverings. And that's what's in front of you here this evening for consideration. It just encourages the use of face coverings and provides some helpful information as to what areas where face coverings should be worn and some potential exclusions for consideration as well. And so this is up for the city to for the assembly to consider. It has an effective date through September 8th. That's essentially a month from now. And so we can revisit it. It remains in effect through September 8th, unless it is terminated earlier by the assembly. So it does have a fairly fast termination timeframe in it. The other thing that I will add that's already been pointed out tonight is there is no enforcement aspect to this. It's an encouragement only. Just a friendly reminder.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion? Seeing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Ryan Howe.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
Gilbert.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka.
Yes. Okay, so this will now be item 13C. I apologize, you guys. I'm not able to actually modify my thing. So if I get it wrong, please, Assembly Member Gilbert pointed out my items here. Item 13C, approval of the fiscal year 2019 audit.
Wait a minute.
Page 154.
Move to approve the FY 2019 audit.
Been moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
By Howe. Thank you. Lisa and Joyce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The audit is before the assembly for consideration and approval this evening. As you are aware, there are four findings in the audit, which is a problem. I do want to remind the assembly that this the time period that this audit covers is from July 1st, 2018 through June 30th of 2019. And the findings that are here in here have been addressed by Joyce. Specifically, there have been measures that have been put in place. And I asked Joyce, those things were outlined in the audit, although I think not very clearly. And I have asked Joyce to provide very specific information about how these things have been addressed. The one item that we don't have really any control over is the fourth audit, which is the time frame in which the audit gets finished. Our audits are supposed to be available to get to the state by March 31st. This is the second year in a row that's not happened. And that is a function of the auditor. And although they will say it is us, that is absolutely not correct. This is the second year in a row that we have had a problem with BDO, and we are not the only ones that have had issues with BDO around the state with audits not being done in a timely fashion. And so this is an issue we'd like to try to address with going out with an RFP, which Joyce has prepared. To try to look at what other options there might be around this. There aren't a lot of options around the state, but we want to look at what our other options might be and see if we can get somebody else to respond. Because initially, when Joyce spoke to Sam, one of the top auditors at BDO, he said our audit would be done in December because we'd had such significant problems last year. And we just received the audit. It's been some time now, but we got the final version of the audit again after our current fiscal year budget was ready to be passed. That's completely unacceptable, and so we're not going to go through that again. I'm not going to have something like that happen a third year in a row. It's completely unacceptable. And the other thing that they did is they gave an audit to Joyce that did not have any findings in it to begin with. And I reported that to you in the draft audit that there were not any findings. And then they hand Joyce an audit that has findings in it. And so that's also very problematic.
Who from the auditing firm is present tonight to answer questions for us?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor?
Who from the auditing firm is present tonight to answer questions from the
assembly? We did not ask them to be present tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Normally we do that, don't we, Assembly Member Gilbert? Doesn't somebody come and report the findings directly to us?
Yes, if we request, the school would request a BDO to be present. But the school also had the same problem with the lateness of BDO.
No, sorry, I'm just strictly referring to, I'm pretty used to, and I'm pretty sure the assembly, we've had the benefit of having somebody call in from the auditing firm to be able to help answer questions regarding deficiencies. And I know that we certainly have that at SEPA, Lisa, if you remember correctly, our recent audit.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I apologize. If you guys would like to postpone action on this, I can. We can have the auditors call in. We did not last year, and that's. I apologize for that.
Well, I missed that last year. You know, there's enough issues here that this is not a. And this isn't on Joyce. Joyce came in. She inherited this. But there's a significant number of findings, more than I'm certainly used to seeing in an audit. And I think it would, given that one of our greatest responsibilities is the understanding and management of the fiscal, you know, going on in our borough, I think it would be good to have somebody here. And it's typically a part of their service that I'll leave it up to the assembly. We can maybe start in with Joyce, and then at the end, I'll ask the question if we'd like to have BDO sit in on the next meeting.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, it's very, very difficult to hear you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Is that any better?
Yes.
Yes.
I just am used to having, and I don't know why I missed it last year, but I am used to having somebody from the auditing firm. They are auditing our internal structure to ensure that we are following all the laws and that there's nothing, no malfeasance going on. And typically, in the past, I know I've been asked to meet with them. I may have been away at the point that was happening. I know Assembly Member Gilbert did, and they typically ask us fairly direct questions regarding any concerns that we might have. But I know in the past, assembly meetings for budget or for audits, we've had somebody from the auditing firm there. This is an external group, whether they're late or not, that is looking at our structures. And so if we just all of a sudden turn it into a internal review from that external review, I don't think that's good governance. So I would be, you know, I would like someone to come in, give us a full report, explain their findings, explain what actions can be taken, and then Joyce can update us on what she's done and from her departments to do it. But I think it's kind of crucial that if you all of a sudden just turn it, I'm not saying anything wrong is happening, but it's the perception. These folks have come externally with no skin in the game aside from the review. So that's my opinion.
Well, let's postpone action on the audit and bring a representative of BDO, have them at the next meeting. No issue there.
Okay. And I would appreciate the same sort of update that we just recently had with the SEPA meeting where the person got on the phone and went through, and you know that was a pretty clean audit, that one, but goes through and highlights and explains to the assembly what they found and what that means, so that you know the audit's huge, and you know we're sort of trying to wade through it. So I think that'd be helpful. I would request that for our next assembly meeting is the end of August, correct?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, what we'll need is a postponement, please, a motion to postpone.
Can I get a motion to postpone, please?
I'll move that we postpone the approval of the FY 2019 audit.
I'll second it.
Good move and second it. Kim, do we want to be specific that it's postponed until the next assembly meeting?
If it's okay with the assembly, I can put that in the minutes, but I don't need it to specifically be on the motion.
Perfect. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item 13. D, Approval of second modification to Wrangell Marine Service Center Mill Dock 1 lease is requested by Steve Thomason.
Move to approve the second modification to Wrangell Marine Service Center Mill Dock 1 lease as requested by Steve Thomason. Gilbert.
Second.
Second.
Morrison, thank you. Discussion. Lisa, is there anything further on this?
Actually, Mr. Mayor, it would be the clerk, Kim, that would address this with you. She's the one that handles the lease renewals right now.
Thank you. Kim?
Yes, this is Mr. Thomason brought this forward, and they had changed the name of their organization, and they are with regards to the leases, any change to the lease, a name change would be a change to the lease, has to come before the borough assembly, and so that's why you are getting it. So it's nothing really in the meat of the lease is being changed, just the name.
Call this a housekeeping item.
Yes. Thank you.
Are these leases transferable? Can you directly transfer a lease from a business to a business?
If it's the same owner, then you can do that. We've done that before, but if it's being transferred, also if you wanted to sell the business, you can do that, but it still has to come before the assembly to do that.
Thank you.
Any change to a lease has to come before the assembly.
Assemblymember Gilbert.
Oh, there's just one change. I would change the date of the agreement.
Yes.
It's still
yes, thank you so much.
28. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers David Powell.
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item 13E, approval of professional service agreement with Black Point IT Services for managed IT services in the amount of $52,140.
Move to approve professional services agreement with Black Point IT Services for managed IT services in the amount of $52,140.
Been moved. Do we have a second?
Second. How?
Been moved and seconded by Hal. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Joyce is going to need to provide the background on the meat of this, but finally, we are moving into hopefully what is approval of a contract for IT services. And this has been a long time in coming. The borough has not had any IT assistance, any formal IT assistance for years. And thankfully, Joyce has been able to fill a gap since she got here actually doing IT work. Some of it anyway, and working with a contractor that she previously has worked with. We did seek information and proposals from two different firms, Black Point, and then another firm that I had a recommendation on from a couple of municipalities, a firm in Juneau. And there was a price difference and a bit of a scope difference in what was presented. And so the decision was made to recommend an approval with Black Point with the assembly. And if there are any specific questions I would ask or anything I've forgotten here, I would ask Joyce to speak to that.
Joyce, is there anything else you want to add to that?
Yes, okay, so Black Point has been around quite a while. I've worked with them since I came to Alaska, and before that they worked with a couple of the native tribes in Prince of Wales. They also work with Kodiak Electric in Kodiak, and I can't remember another municipality. I've always had real good luck with them. They've never left me stranded as the poor internet service we have in Prince of Wales. I did bring up a gentleman, Mike Bowman, and he looked at all of the infrastructure within all the services, and they're real excited about being able to provide service, mainly because we have great internet service and they can log on and fix anything. They're available 24/7. We did put a computer in Power and Light, and we did a kind of a time and material contract with them, and they just, the staff there just called in and the little gal set them up in an hour and they were ready to go. I've always had really good luck with them, and I think you guys will enjoy working with them.
Thank you, Joyce. Assembly Member Howe.
So where are they? I have a couple questions. Where are they out of? Where are they located, like based?
Actually, their office is in Kent, Washington. And Mike lives west of Seattle a little bit. They also have bought, in the last year, they bought a huge telephone service in Arizona. So they have a big base in Arizona now. But they do quite a few schools and municipalities in Washington. And then I wanted to stress that we will be tweaking the contract and stuff on how many computers we put online, how many need more work. But I had to get a base somewhere.
Looking at a distance option like this is really good. You get good service and it saves you in labor costs. And so it's all distance, or is there any face-to-face, like if we have hardware issues?
Most of it will be distance, but if we want to bring them up, they will come up. Mike likes coming up here.
Is it built in the contract, or is that an additional fee?
I believe that would be additional. His travel would be additional, not his time up here.
Okay. We did bring him up, I believe it was in June, because we had to put a new server at the harbor, and he looked at stuff at a number of different departments. So he was up and assisted at the Nolan Center, at the police department, I believe in dispatch as well. So he's been on the ground and assisted quite a bit.
Oh, great. How many people does he have working for him?
Pardon?
How many people work for the firm?
I would say, they're very well structured. Everything is with tickets. Everything is with, I have another manager I work with, Russ. So, and then they did a free assessment of City Hall to see that it was set up correctly. So, you know, and the one thing that is, I stress, is they're available 24/7. So if dispatch has something go down at 1 o'clock in the morning, we can call them.
It's a great IT solution to do it with distance, right, as long as you feel like you can keep your hardware, you know, up and running. So cool.
Right. I basically did it for 12 years and Craig, and it worked out well.
Assemblymember Gilbert.
I just wanted to know the rationale behind a 3-year contract. There's a penalty to buy out your contract, so.
Right, but so it was considerably cheaper to go a 3-year contract. And I asked the same question, Betty, and they said that that most of your contracts in this type of work are 3-year. Telephone companies, everybody likes a 3-year contract. And Sherry, that's the gal I work with, she claimed that, you know, it may take us 2 years to get everybody online, get everybody trained, you know. Get everybody used to, you know, if they have a problem, they just email or call into Blackpoint.
Thank you.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe you're not muted again.
I just muted him.
David just happened a night. It's because I asked him to do the pledge unannounced. He's off his game. I love it. Any other questions? Any other questions for Joyce or Lisa?
This is Kim's fault because she usually mutes me automatically.
All right. I'm not seeing any. Can we have a poll vote, please,
Kim? Absolutely. Assemblymembers Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe.
Yeah.
David Powell.
Yes.
And Mayor Pasanka.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Item 13F, discussion item, EPA targeted brownfield assessment program.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. I'm going to ask Amber to jump in here, please, and discuss this. She's been leading the program, trying to address these contaminated sites that we have that are borough owned. And we're looking at trying to work with the EPA to get some technical assistance, which might help catapult us into being eligible for brownfields grant money in the future. But we have to talk through some issues with the assembly. So I'm gonna ask Amber to lead us through that, please, Mr. Mayor.
Yep, please, Amber, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm still kind of laughing at Dave.
We all are.
Sorry, Dave. At least there's some humor around. thank you for letting me describe what's going on with this project. So the property that we're talking about here is the property on the corner of Front Street in Campbell Drive, across from where Twisted Root is right now. This is one of three sites that we've been reporting on that DEC has been in contact with us about for the last 5 or 6 years to pursue for additional site assessment of contamination that occurred. You know, let's talk about this one specifically. This occurred probably years and years ago before the city owned it. All the history that I found doesn't indicate that the city had an understanding that there was contaminated soil in this property, and that potentially the underground fuel tanks had been removed previously and everything was closed out. Well, after the city acquired it, we found out that wasn't the case. The city exhumed the two underground storage tanks that still remained, and then the contaminated soil was found. Quite a bit of assessment work was done at that time. I think that was in 2011, 2012, right after the Front Street project was completed. And at that time, they removed, I think, roughly 40 cubic yards of contaminated soil. But the assessment that was done still showed that the perimeter of the excavated pit had some contamination still showing. So DEC wants additional sampling done to see what the extent of that contaminated soil still is in the ground. Reaching out to Shannon and Wilson, just trying to move this project along, because one of the big pushes with this project is that, because it's also next to the carving shed, WCA has been approaching the city about creating a parking lot, a formal parking lot on that site, and bringing some resources to the table to help us do that, and proposing that it would be a shared parking lot site. But this is kind of the thing that's holding up that project. DEC will not allow us to move forward and do any further development on that site until we figure out what's going on with the contaminated soil. So we reached out. Shannon Wilson prepared the work plan that we have approved, and we submitted that to DEC. And at the time we submitted it, the Brownsfield program that DEC operates, there was a grant application opportunity, and we applied for that. If you all may recall, you were a part of that with a review. We weren't funded through that program. There wasn't enough funds. I think we ended up on the priority list, number 16 out of 24 Alaska submissions to that program. I think they funded the top 10 of those 24 that were submitted. After that, DEC suggested that there was the EPA program, Brownsfield program, that our project would likely be eligible for as far as the type of site that it was. And they forwarded themselves our program to EPA to consider. So EPA is now considering this site for funding under their Brownsfield program. And what they would do if they pursued this for us would be to perform that site assessment, the additional assessment work that needs to be done to determine what type of contamination is still remaining on that site. But in order for us to finalize eligibility criteria, they're going through that. And if you, there's a lot of information in this, I don't know how much of it you read, but they have to determine that the contamination happened at least two owner, not the previous owner, but two owners prior to the previous owner or current owner, which we have established that already with them. And since there is a previous owner that is liable for the contamination potentially, it's there within their program to follow up and make sure that that person, if they're still alive, see if they're viable, financially viable to pay for the cleanup or the assessment work, whatever we're pursuing. So that's what we're coming to you for, to understand whether or not you would like to see us move forward and ask for that financial viability assessment to be performed by DEC. They've offered to do that for us through their legal team. But what that would require is that they reach out to the individual and ask them for 3 years of tax returns. And I'm not sure what other information, I'm sure there's a bevy of questions that would be asked to determine if they are financially viable. And, you know, they would not give me any definitive information as far as like what makes someone viable or, you know, potentially our estimate of a $65,000 site assessment. So I don't have any further information to that point, if you're curious. But we have to determine if we want to either pursue the EPA program, which would mean we'd have to determine if the previous owner is viable to pay for that first. If they're not, then EPA would consider us eligible. If we don't want to go down that road to determine the previous owner's viability, then the city will be looking at local funds to pursue this project.